This is Cashing Out with your host, Dustin Sweetelson, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Yeah, buddy. August the 18th, be with you on a Thursday night. Welcome on into the program. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and I'll be with you all night long from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. We made it, baby. Shout out to Shania. Football's back in our lives. You love to see it. A nice little slate to begin the early weekend here in a summer week, as we have had a plethora of football already completed. Five games in the books already. One more pending in the third quarter. The Tennessee Titans lead the 49ers 13-7 right now. This one being played in Santa Clara. We will keep you abreast of all the information as it comes through across the board in that game, plus the late night Major League Baseball slate, because we are gifted with two games in our window right now. And of course, the feel I had for one of them, I just couldn't get there and pull the trigger. It has the Angels leading the Rangers right now, 2-0 early in the game, though. We're looking at the third quarter, bouncing back and forth. We're at a point where I'm going to say the score is 2-0 because of the World Cup a month ago. 2-0, Angels with the lead. Jacob DeGrom's number is not as good on the road. Also, the Dodgers and Brewers currently in action. Milwaukee's threatening. They were just plus 118 as we hit the air. I was about to bet it. They have two on in the fourth inning, one out. Christian Yelich is at the plate, facing Roki Sasaki. And this is a spot where I thought about Milwaukee before the game started. I didn't ultimately bet any baseball tonight pregame. But if somehow Sasaki works his way out of this jam, I would like to get a plus money price on the Brewers if that does pop up at some point again. But the football's taking center stage. And in case you missed it, here is how things shook out earlier today in the night. You had the Lions and Bengals playing to a Cincinnati 16-14 victory. Detroit does cover, catching the 7 points. And that's noteworthy because coming into this one, you know, Cincinnati was just 8-12 against the spread in their last 20 preseason games. They don't cover again. That moves them now to 8-13, covering the number in the preseason. All this talk about Zach Taylor playing his starters, wanting to get them a little bit more work. Sure, that works for a couple series, but ultimately at the end of the game, that's not who's going to be out there. I think there's such an overreaction in betting the preseason. Well, these guys are going to play their starters. You don't know how much. And even if they do, you don't know what they're working on. Sure, they want to score. Yes, the ultimate goal of every drive is to score a touchdown. The reality is what these guys want to do is they want to get out unscathed. They don't want to get injured. So they'll get their work in. They'll treat it how you want them to treat it, as if it's a serious game. But they're in, they're out. We're moving on to the backups. I was on the under in that game. The under gets home. 30-point score. Total closed at 39. I mean, that's a pretty big total. And I think one thing we're noticing here, scoring early on, and it's slowing up in a lot of these games. For example, that game, halftime, there were 16 points scored. Cincinnati led 10-6 at the break. And then in the second half, you know what? The Lions did put up an 8 spot. I missed that. The Lions did put up an 8 spot in the fourth quarter as the scrubs were in. But another game, Cardinals and Raiders just finished up moments ago. 27-14, Arizona picks up the win. Well, hold on. It was 21-14 at halftime. We got 6 points in the entire second half in this contest to finish this thing out. Arizona cashes plus the 3. We go under or over under the total of 41.5 because we have 41 points scored in this one. Jeremiah Love made his debut. He made a couple flashy runs, 11 for 58 on the ground. Fernando Mendoza threw a couple balls into some tight windows, looked pretty good and composed out there. 97 yards passing for him, one touchdown there. But that was a game where I didn't bet it because Arizona had a game under their belt. And with Mendoza playing, I didn't know what the leash would be on him. He actually threw the ball a lot more than I would have anticipated here. But that does make sense because Kirk Cousins is going to be the starter to start the season. And who knows when he gives that job up to Mendoza, the number one pick. But when Carson Beck was ruled out, I was like, man, I don't know. I don't know what kind of point production we're going to get here. And at that point, I didn't know if I wanted to take Arizona anymore, even with the better number of catching 3. Turns out it was the right side. Arizona gets home. They cash plus 3, plus 145 on the money line in that contest. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers? Maybe my favorite quarterback room of all the preseason depth charts. Take the starter away. Give me the backups. I love what the Steelers had to offer. They beat Green Bay 28-9. They're catching 3 points at home. We go under the total of 38.5 with 37 points scored. Drew Aller looked really good. 10 of 13, 153 yards, 2 touchdowns. And let's also use some context here, because I already know the Twitter DMs are coming. The replies are coming from all you tough guys. You just sit there on your computers. You want to punch holes through things people say. I understand the defense that they're going against, but the stats still happened. We saw some nice plays. We're going to acknowledge them here. I'm not acting like Drew Aller should be the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, at least not this year. But 10 of 13 for 153, 2 touchdowns. Mason Rudolph also looked pretty good. 93 yards, 10 of 11 for him through the air. And Will Howard made some nice plays also. 7 of 9, 86 yards. But this is what I'm looking for. When I'm handicapping preseason football, it is very important to me that the backup quarterbacks can function in the offense. That's why Tennessee, a team that I'm on their team total tonight, I don't know if we're going to get there. They scored early, and we haven't seen much. 13-7 is the score, 7:38 to go in the third. But I like the back end of their depth chart at quarterback, because Trubisky's the number two. Then you have Will Levis. Then you have Hendon Hooker. Will Levis, Hendon Hooker, those are experienced guys. One, Will Levis has started games in the league. Hendon Hooker started a ton of games in college at a couple different spots. So because of that, I thought that this team could move the ball a little bit against the San Francisco defense that really just wants to get in, get out, avoid some injuries, because they're getting hurt every single day at practice thanks to that electrical substation. But thus far, that has not been the case. We still have time to get there on the over 22.5 on the team total for the Titans. But that is it as far as it goes. Well, I missed the tie. Sorry. Indianapolis and New England, they tied at 13. This was one where we made the right decision. We got a push. I went moneyline minus 140 on the Colts. And in the end, that ended up being okay. Like, that wasn't the worst thing in the world with there being a tie. I didn't want to lay it with Indy. That was the concern that I had there. But I looked at the Colts depth chart, and I saw running backs or quarterbacks that could use their legs. And it wasn't really the case. Offensively, left a lot to be desired. Anthony Richardson kind of doomed us in this one, in case you saw it. Anthony Richardson played a bulk of this game. 11 of 14, 145 yards. He had an interception. He had a fumble. He also had a rushing touchdown and ran for 53 yards on the ground. So you tip your hat. He had a couple good moments, but not enough through the air of taking care of the football, getting loosey-goosey, running the football and losing a fumble. If you're a guy battling to stay afloat in the National Football League, a former first-round pick, a guy that I was very high on coming out of Florida, you've got to be a bit more buttoned up when you're going to get these opportunities like this. I don't like the sloppiness from Anthony Richardson, and I'm going to have to eat crow on the take that I thought that he was going to be a stud in the NFL just because of this. I love the skill set. Unfortunately, situations like these are why he is where he is at this point in his career. So that is the live action, or that is all of the games that have already gotten done tonight. So that one was 13-13, Indian, New England. Patriots catching 3.5 covers. We go under the total of 38. Cincinnati top Detroit 16-14. Lions covered, getting 7 points in that one. Pittsburgh all over Green Bay at home, 28-9. Pittsburgh was a 3-point home dog. We go under 38.5. Arizona beats Las Vegas 27-14. They were catching 3 on the road. We go under 41.5. Well, what's the theme in everything I just said? Under, under, under. The Undertaker time. I want to be the meme right now and just sit straight up with the eyes bulging out. Also, I'm more of like an old school in the purple Undertaker versus the American motorcycle-wearing bandana Undertaker. If we're just going to be clear about this. I know there's good people on both sides of that debate. But unders coming in tonight in these preseason games. And for years, people would just blindly say, well, I only bet the unders in them. And I'd always like get annoyed at that, because I hate when people just say, well, if this team's playing, you just bet the under. Or this team's playing, you bet them as a dog. There's no like universal situation for everything. But I do lean unders as far as these preseason games are concerned. I will not bet an over. I will only look to identify unders, but I will not just splash the board with unders everywhere. However, if you're one of those donkeys that did it tonight, you had a pretty good day. Got to tell you, that's 4 unders. And right now, the Tennessee game with San Francisco We are looking at that one trending towards an under as well. Total closed at 40. We're at 23 points with 6:18 to go in the third. Really haven't moved the ball as we came out of the locker rooms, either team not finishing drives. In-game totals down to 35.5 in that contest. And while I was talking, it looks like the Chargers and the Texans got done 27-7. That's the final there. Chargers get the win. They were laying one. That is another under. Wow. One, two, three, four, five unders with one pending trending in that direction as well. Yeah. Look, just because all the unders come in today doesn't mean you go bet them all tomorrow. But you're sure thinking about it. I know I am, but you're going to – there's one under that really makes sense to me tomorrow. I'll explain that when we get to that later on in the program. But if you can convince me of an over, I'd love to hear the case. At Dustin Sweetelson, you can email the show, cashingout@vsin.com. I'd love to hear one spot this weekend in the preseason you think is worth betting the over on, because I can't make a case for overs very often, but there's a couple select spots where the under really speaks to me, because you got to remember, there's people setting the number. They know you want to go under. Even the public, they know in the preseason the under is the way we're all thinking because it's all the backups. So just remember that before you just think you're going to blindly bet the under every single time out. It won't always go like it's going tonight. Game one, day one, NFL preseason for all of these teams. We have more updates for preseason matchups on Friday, including some of the quarterback scenarios. Who's going to play? Who is not? We'll tell you all about it on the other side of Cashing Out.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Salsing our way into the night. It is Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Fired up to be with you guys. Football is back. This is what our life is going to look like coming up in the fall. Monday night, we'll be on for the end of Monday Night Football. Thursday night football, same deal. Sunday night, are you picking up the theme here? We will be there for the end of these games. We will guide you through primetime NFL. I am so excited for this season, man. There's still a lot of bets we have to add along the way. We will do that throughout the show tonight. Too high or all right, all right, all right. I will run some futures by you, including a college football playoff bet at 30-1. I don't think we're making a big enough deal about a coaching change in the Big Ten. I'll tell you who that is later on in the program. Bottom of this hour, 15 minutes from right now, we go to the ATL. Abe Gordon, 92.9 the game. The Atlanta Falcons have a quarterback battle going on. Tua Tagovailoa is currently in the number one spot for the Falcons. I'll get his thoughts on what that means for their situation, where they rank in the NFC South coming into the year. In about 45 minutes, we go to Denver. Nick Ferguson, former NFL defensive backs, his thoughts on the Denver Broncos, who he played for, who he's covering now in radio in the Denver market, and how do things look offensively with Davis Webb now as the offensive coordinator. I am not a big Bo Nix guy. I'm not a big Broncos or Sean Payton guy, but I'll tell you this, in the futures market, feels like those numbers are a little bit disrespectful based on what that franchise has accomplished over the last couple seasons. In about 2 hours and... Yeah, 2 hours, right? Let me do my math. 8, 9, 10. A little under 2 hours. Either way, we'll go 1 a.m. Eastern time. Can't do math on the fly. It's really an issue when you're doing this show. Arthur DeCesar, longtime Vegas odds maker. We'll check in on some of the sharp moves in the preseason in the National Football League. And then 1:30 a.m. Eastern time, Colby Dant, Sports Gambling Podcast Network, checks in on the show. His best bets, college football futures, all of that forthcoming over the next 2 hours and 45 minutes. See, I figured that part out on the fly. That's easy to do because we're one segment into the show. Update in Santa Clara, Tennessee just tacked on a field goal, it looks like. 16-10, third quarter. We have got 2:47 to go in the third frame and 26 points scored thus far. Now, I'm on the team total over 22.5. I need a Tennessee touchdown drive. I can't be settling for field goals the rest of the way. I hit an under in the Lions and the Bengals. I got a push on the money line with the Colts earlier. This is my third bet. I need Tennessee to get a stop. Let's score a touchdown, boys. Let's get a drive together. It's annoying because Tennessee was cruising to open this thing up. First drive of the game for the Titans when they got the football. 11 plays, 95 yards, capped off by a Tony Pollard 5-yard touchdown run. That's how they've done this. That's why they have the lead right now on the Niners, who do not want to have any more injuries pop up here in the preseason. Let's start looking ahead to Friday's card. Some news coming out about the preseason. We tackle it all in the three-point stance.
The top stories in football.
We want some more! We want some more! We want some more!
Every single day.
Ice up, son! Ice up!
This is three-point stance.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
We'll play intramurals, brother.
And we start things off with the latest preseason football news with the three-point stance. So, for starters here, looking at the situations for quarterbacks coming up on Friday, we did get word that for Denver and the Atlanta Falcons, we are going to see for Denver a half of each from their backups, Jarrett Stidham alongside Sam Ehlinger. That is the plan of attack right now for the Denver Broncos on Friday. Some other news coming out impacting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They face the New York Jets. That one is on Friday as well. Right now, the Jets are laying 5.5 at home. Total is 35.5. That's a flip off the opener with the Bucs originally as a favorite of 0.5. News from Jake Browning: suffered an undisclosed injury at Tuesday's practice. Don't know about his availability. If he can't go, rookie Connor Bazelak and Jalen Daniels will get the work. That's the game that I think the under is the direction to look. Jalen Daniels, he is fun, he is electric, but he is a running quarterback. Not sure he's going to throw it up and down the defense. Also, keep in mind, you have two defensive-minded head coaches in this matchup between Bowles and Aaron Glenn. So I think the under is the direction to look in that contest. And if we don't get Jake Browning, that is just such a win there, where I think the under looks better and better. The Jets are going to start. You know, they're going to have Cade Klubnik out there. They're going to have Brady Cook out there. They're going to have Bailey Zappe out there. Aaron Glenn did say that there's no question that Geno Smith and the Jets' first unit would see action on Friday. Everybody's playing, he said. We don't know how much, though. And just because the starters play doesn't mean it's going to look crisp, and doesn't mean with them implementing new systems with Frank Reich that they're going to score on multiple drives. So because of that, I do like the under in that matchup, because I don't think Tampa Bay is contributing very much to going over that total. Jeff Hafley, Miami head coach, they take on the Commanders coming up on Friday. Right now, we are looking at Miami as a 3.5-point road favorite, 35.5 up to 36.5 at some shops right now on the total. Hafley said he planned on playing Malik Willis, quote, "I am, but as you said, things can change." So that doesn't give you a lot of definitive answers about what they're going to do with Malik Willis. Maybe that's a drive. Maybe that's two drives. Maybe it's not at all. Hafley saying he wants to be able to say that he changed his mind here. So that is a situation worth monitoring if we get any more news out of Miami and Washington in those matchups. Now, let's hear from the head coach of the New York Football Giants, because John Harbaugh for years was the gift that kept on giving. He is 41-22-1 against the spread in the preseason as a head coach. And that's with the last couple of years not being up to his standard. He met with the media earlier today and had this to say about his mindset heading into the preseason.
I value first-team reps very much, and you have to measure that against the risk. So there is risk as well. And that's part of it too. And you have to make that decision. You know, in the past 3 or 4 years, we didn't play hardly any starters. Before that, we would play a series or two, and we usually went even all three games. Way back when we had the we kind of brought from Andy, it was the way we worked it, and you had the most reps were like in the third preseason game. You know, then the fourth preseason game, those guys only played one series. So there's a lot of formulas. People use a lot of different formulas. Our formula was pretty much to spread the reps out evenly through the three games for the guys that needed to play. And we have a plan for that right now by guy. And that's what we'll do.
Okay. And that makes a lot of sense. They have to play these guys because they're implementing a whole new system. I like trying to find the coaches. And again, there is no just blanket all of them. But coaches that are in a first year, in a new situation, trying to lay the foundation for winning and success. And I think Harbaugh is someone worth targeting here, not just because of the track record, but because of the pressure, right? In New York with Jackson Dart, to prove that he can pick up these systems that they're implementing. And by the way, the Giants coaching staff, we're talking about Matt Nagy. We're talking about Greg Roman. We've got Brian Callahan. There's a bunch of guys who have had big time jobs, a couple of them former head coaches in the league on this staff. They want this offense to look right and get right. This is the time that you do that. And Jackson Dart, based on some of the reports coming out of Giants camp, has not looked that crisp running this offense. That's why I think we get plenty of the former Ole Miss quarterback in the first game of the preseason here. The Giants are catching 2.5. I think that is worth a look. Minnesota with Kyler Murray now as the starter. J.J. McCarthy is the backup. Sure, you might get a lot out of them in this instance, but reality is I think the Giants have to look crisp. And when they hand it off to the backups, it's not like there's a major drop-off with Jameis Winston if he takes over for a while. Because of all that, I think the Giants are worth a look as a dog here at home, +2.5 coming up this weekend in the preseason. Let's go from that part of New Jersey all the way up to upstate or western New York, we should say. And Josh Allen has a lot of new around him as well. Joe Brady is the new head coach. He also has a new offensive coordinator, which is weird because you'd think Joe Brady would just be the offensive coordinator. It's Pete Carmichael. Josh Allen met with the media earlier today and had this to say about his new OC.
Pete Carmichael is freaking awesome. I love the guy. He's been great for our room. The energy that he brings each and every day, the wisdom that he brings, it's been awesome to be around him. Obviously, he was just at Drew Brees Hall of Fame acceptance, and I know that was a big moment for him because I think he had a lot to do. Not a lot to do with it. Obviously, it's Drew Brees, but he played a part in that too, and that's to have somebody who's been around greatness like that is awesome in the room.
Well, Pete Carmichael spent a lot of time in New Orleans, 2009 to 2023. I believe that is what Josh Allen is referencing there. And I think that for Josh Allen this year, you know, the addition of DJ Moore is going to be such a game changer because the long ball, the deep shot is going to come back for the Buffalo Bills. If they can get anything out of the first round pick Keon Coleman, that would be massive here. You already know you have a slot guy to throw to in Khalil Shakir. Dalton Kincaid, when he's healthy, really emerged the last years. I like the two tight end sets that they run with him and Dawson Knox. But I think DJ Moore is that X factor. If he can go back to being the guy he was a few years ago, even back to the Carolina days, just adding that element where they can really stretch the field. Also, it pulls the defense away so that Josh Allen can cook how he wants with his legs. I'm very intrigued by the Bills. I haven't gotten there with any of the futures. 10-1 to win the Super Bowl. I don't hate that idea because in a one-game matchup against the best team in football in the Rams, I like the idea of Josh Allen just trying to take over in that spot. But if you're betting the Bills, it's because you believe Josh Allen, this system, it's going to be different than it's been in years past.
Hey, this is
the game host and producer at Abe Gordon. You can find him on X. And Abraham, I want to begin here. I am fighting with a lot of people around here who think Atlanta is capable of winning the NFC South. And I think if Michael Penix Jr. was healthy, I could buy that with the upside of him there. However, as the last person on the Tua train the last few years and finally off that ride, I don't understand how anyone's making the case for Tua to lead them there. What have you seen and heard about this quarterback battle? And specifically, how has Tua looked so far in year one?
Well, I mean, look, the case for the NFC South isn't just about what the Falcons are going to do. It's obviously about the rest of the division. Like, yeah, if you want to sit here and say the Falcons aren't that good, like, I understand that. Neither's Carolina, neither's New Orleans, neither's Tampa Bay. So I think being the best of that bunch is possible. When it comes to Tua, he's everything that you've been told or have seen prior to the past two seasons in Miami, going back to when he was actually good in Miami. He's accurate. His footwork's down, Pat. He gets the ball out quickly. He does all the things you would want him to do in this style offense. It's obviously going to be different than Michael Penix. He's not going to chuck it down the field. I will say this. He's thrown some real balloons out there when he's gone deep over the middle of the field. He's okay deep outside the numbers. Middle of the field's a little bit scary for Pitts and London and anyone else who might go in there. But look, it looks like he's that guy that led the league in passing one year, led the league in completion percentage another year. So, look, you never really know because you're throwing against air. It's 11-on-11s at, I mean, they did a drill the other day, Swede, where they went like 25% speed. I'm like, you can't possibly learn anything from this. So Look, we're not going to overreact to training camp, but he looks accurate, and that's all you can ask and expect.
Abe Gordon's with us, 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. Talk to me about year one, Kevin Stefanski. You go from Raheem Morris, which that was a disaster. Now Stefanski takes over, former two-time coach of the year. What have been the biggest differences you're hearing and seeing from Falcons camp?
This is going to be a physical team, Swede. And I haven't seen them hit in training camp like this in a while. And that means not just Raheem Morris's regime, but not Arthur Smith either. I mean, they were really throwing the pads around. And obviously, you lose Jalen Walker due to injury. Very next day was the most physical practice I had seen in 5 years for the Atlanta Falcons. So he came in and said that, hey, I believe in playing my starters in the preseason and using this to get ready for the season and all that stuff. And what do we see here? These guys are going to – now, look, it's 10 plays, 12 plays, whatever. It's going to be one drive. But he's a man of his word. And we've also seen moments where players have said – hey, it feels like we're finally being coached, and not to slight Raheem Morris too much, but you can definitely see guys talking about what they didn't feel was coming from the leadership previously and what certainly is coming now. And now the question is, you just have to do it in the regular season. But this feels like a step up, no doubt.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, it can't get much worse than what you've dealt with the last couple seasons. Denver comes to town on Friday. Going to have your guy Nick Ferguson coming up in about 25 minutes on the show as well. And how do you anticipate the quarterback snaps being divvied up? Because I can't imagine with Penix not being available, they want Tua out there all that much. But at the same time, with Tua's track record, can they afford Cooper Rush to get injured in the preseason? What are your expectations for this matchup with the Broncos?
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty clear about what they expect the starters to be, and it's going to be somewhere around 10 plays. If the first drive goes maybe 7 or 8 and it's a successful drive, maybe they pull him then, but 10 plays is what Kevin Stefanski said. And like I said, he's been a man of his word, so I wouldn't be too surprised. Maybe you extend it a little bit further if you're, you know, third down and you don't want to just pull him for one. And maybe Cooper Rush goes for the rest of the half, but you're going to see a lot of Jack Strand, the rookie D2 guy, and a huge physical talent, big arm. He's got to work on some things. He's a rookie, and it shows in camp, and I'm imagining it's going to show in the second half tomorrow night as well. So, you're not going to leave him out there. And I also think there's a situation at right tackle that you've got some real issues. And if you start to get dicey 2, 3, 4 plays in, you may just go ahead and make the move. But, like, you're also not sitting back there running play action and having him hold the pocket and chuck it deep. I mean, I doubt we'll see Bijan Robinson at all. It'll probably be a couple of handoffs, maybe a quick hitter to Kyle Pitts or Drake London. Get down, get out of bounds. Don't take any hits, and then, we move on. So I'm not expecting too much from Tua, but it'll be nice to see some full-speed reps and maybe a little bit of physicality.
Talking Falcons with Abe Gordon, 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. At Abe Gordon on X is where you can find him on social media. The defense was so good last year. It was like they completely wasted how awesome. They finally looked with a great back end. A bunch of rookies stepped up. Some other guys improved. You draft Avion Terrell out of Clemson to go with A.J. Terrell. But you touched on it before. Jalen Walker done for the year. He was a big piece of that. And then James Pierce, I imagine a suspension is coming. How concerned are you about those two guys potentially not being involved in this defense?
Yeah, incredibly concerned. And it's not just them. It's other guys that you lost sack-wise. Caden Ellis, you let go return to the New Orleans Saints. This is a team that, Swede, out of nowhere after, I don't know, a decade of having zero pass rush since Vic Beasley's, you know, rookie season and their trip to the Super Bowl, you've had no pass rush. And then all of a sudden you finish second in the NFL in sacks. And I think you're just going to take a hit there this year. I just can't imagine that you're going to be that impactful on the front end here. And you're asking guys on 1 year prove it deals or back end of rookie contracts who haven't really shown you a ton to step up and make some noise or some promising rookies, albeit late round selections, like Harold Perkins, Kendall Daniels, to try and make something happen here. But it's going to be a big hit. The good part of this, though, is as much as the secondary was probably the strength of the defense a year ago, I think you're actually better in the secondary this year with the addition of Avion Terrell, Darnay Holmes, and you get Billy Bowman hopefully back from injury, Xavier Watts in his second year. If the pass rush is going to falter, how do you make up for that? More turnovers on the back end. I think that's going to be the key if this defense is going to feel like it did last year. You're not going to get to the quarterback the same, so you've got to turn the ball over.
Hey, we started the conversation looking at this division. The Buccaneers are plus 170, but they're obviously susceptible. Not only did they not win the division last year, but they have a lot of drama going on right now. Baker Mayfield wants a new contract, not going to get it. Vita Vea doesn't want to play for them anymore. New Orleans is plus 270, and I understand people liking the upside, but I think we need a little context in seeing who they beat down the stretch last year when they looked good. Carolina, I'm not buying another year of Bryce Young. And then the Falcons are 4-1. How do you think this division ultimately shakes out?
Well, look, if the Falcons get the same level of quarterback play as the rest of the division, they're going to win the division. I think the question is whether or not you believe they are going to get that level of quarterback play. And as much as you kind of look at the front and back of this division, I think it does come down to the quarterback play. Why do you not believe in the Panthers? Because you don't believe in Bryce Young. Why are the Bucs the favorites right now? Because they have right now the best quarterback in Baker Mayfield. And then the Saints have the upside, obviously, of the receiving core, the rookie, Chris Olave coming back. I understand it, but it's really not that complicated. I always hate making the dumbest arguments possible to actually explain stuff. But, like, whoever gets the best quarterback play in this division is going to win the division. And I think that it's a possibility that the Atlanta Falcons, if Tua's back to the old Tua, can get the best quarterback play in this division and can win it. It's not going to take that many wins, Sweet. Like, you know, you're talking to like 9 wins, maybe 10. Like, maybe. But like, you could probably win this division at 9 wins.
You might be able to win it at 8. I don't know if you need 9 this year. He's Abe Gordon. He'll be all over the coverage in Atlanta, 92.9 The Game, at Abe Gordon on X. Appreciate the time, buddy. All right, you can go to bed now.
I will do that, man. Have a good rest of the show.
His watch has ended. This is the problem. When you have friends for a long time in media and you're doing the late show, you ask them to do favors for you, and it involves them like giving up sleep the next day. And Abe's always willing to do that for me. He's a great guy. Check him out on X, at Abe Gordon. Hey, football's back, and some of the best betting opportunities of the year, they start with the NFL preseason. Sign up for VSiN Pro today and get both our NFL and college football betting guides packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, best bets from everyone here at the network. You're also going to get the daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, including our new MLB player props and total picks, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. This is Cashing Out. When we return, I'll take you through the final 6.5 minutes. Titans, Niners, it's a one-score game. That's forthcoming on Cashing Out.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Coming at you from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Dustin Sweetelson. This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network. One last game to wrap up tonight in the NFL preseason. A couple baseball games currently in action as well. Let's begin with the football, because I need a miracle. Oh, I need a miracle. Tennessee leads San Francisco 16-10. Am I going to get a big run here? Flip the field, baby. There go the Titans. They're around midfield. I need that. I need a touchdown from Tennessee to go over the team total here tonight, because I'm 1-0-1 on the night. I'd like to have a winning day. I stayed away from baseball, showed a little bit of discipline, and that is a big burst to the left side by Tennessee. I don't even know who that running back is. All I know is Hendon Hooker is in the game now. I don't believe Hendon Hooker has played until just now. So they brought him in with about 6 minutes to go. A couple penalties backed up the Titans deep into their own territory. When I looked up, they were at their own 6-yard line. Now they're at their own 44-yard line right at midfield. And if they can just pick up a few more chunks and hopefully finish with a touchdown. See, that's the thing. In the NFL preseason, where these guys are trying to put good film on for their coaches, do they just lay up and take a knee here? My thought would be is it's with my bet that Tennessee should want to finish this drive and score, right? You want to do it's your one opportunity. If you're Hendon Hooker, he hasn't thrown a pass yet today. They just put him in the game. Cam Ward went 5 of 12 for 57. Will Levis, 3 of 8 for 42. And Mitchell Trubisky, 2 of 3 for 23 yards. Hendon Hooker's fighting to stay in the league, although they're not really up. Is he going to keep that? No, they ran it. They've run it like four straight plays here. And that brings up a crucial third down for my bet, because if they punt this back to San Francisco and don't convert this third down, I don't think there's going to be enough time left. There's 4 minutes to go. Currently in the market, we are looking at Tennessee laying 6.5, total of 26.5, 26 points scored in the game. I mean, I don't hate the idea of the under, but I'm not touching that right now to bet that there won't be another score in the game, or at least another field goal in the game. So here's a 3rd and 6 now coming for Hendon Hooker, who I really thought was going to latch on the league and be potentially a starter for a team down the road. And he picks up the first down, completed to the outside, and the receiver gets out of bounds. Oh, you love to see it. We're cruising. I believe we're now in plus territory. Is that Xavier Restrepo? I believe that is Xavier Restrepo, former Miami Hurricane, with the catch and the third down conversion. 3.5 minutes left, and I need a touchdown from Tennessee. Come on, you're the only 10 I see. Sorry, it's too easy. I had to do it. My bad. It's just when you give me a layup or I give myself a layup, I'm going to have to acknowledge it at some point in time. But I need 7, by the way. I can't afford a missed PAT. Let's keep that in mind. I bet over 22.5 in this matchup, and we're at 16-10. That's a botched snap. Oh, no! Oh, they fumbled it on a bad snap, and then Hendon Hooker dove on it and corralled the football, but they lost yards on that first down. That is not good. You know what's weird, too? Late in this game, seeing a bunch of players on the field with completely clean uniforms, like guys that just did not get a shot all game long, and now fourth quarter, they're going to get a couple series. Like, imagine you're trying to make this team. You're looking for your window and your opportunities. You're like, all right, you get the final 3 minutes of the game. Go have at it, kid. How do you make an impact? Well, if you're San Francisco there, if you would have dove on that football and forced that turnover, you'd probably make an impact that they're talking about the next day in their meetings. So we are now at the 47-yard line of San Francisco. Hooker again to the outside, and that is a catch, but that's only going to pick up maybe 5 yards on the play, maybe 6. And now we're looking at a 3rd, and I believe it's a 3rd and long scenario. Yeah, that's about 5-6 yards, I want to say. I'm underestimating that one. I'm not in midseason form yet. It's preseason for me too, going through the live action with you all here. But I appreciate you hanging out with me as we look for live betting opportunities, not just this, but there's also baseball. Update there, 6th inning, Dodgers threatening. 1 out in the 6th. They have runners on 1st and 2nd. Antonio Senzatella is pitching. That's usually not a good sign if you're betting on that team. We are at Dodgers down by 1 plus 104, Milwaukee minus 120. See, part of me would love to see the Dodgers either tie it up or take the lead, and I'd like to get another plus price on the Brewers. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get that, but I do think the Brewers' bullpen can solidify things here, and I trust them more than the Dodgers' bullpen at this point of the season, but I'm just going to wait it out and see what happens. I'm probably not going to dive back into this game unless something crazy happens in the next inning or two. But that is a strike, 2nd strike on Teoscar Hernandez, the 5-hitter against Antonio Senzatella. It's weird seeing him not in a Colorado Rockies jersey. Another 3rd and 8 coming in the football game. Tennessee up 16-10, 2.5 minutes to go in the 4th quarter. 3rd and 8, do they run it and just run out the clock, or they try to go for the conversion? They're going to throw it. Let's get this. Oh, he overthrew him. Oh, it was a bad throw. Xavier Restrepo is probably like 6 feet tall, and Hendon Hooker just overthrew him. He had to go up and try and grab it with one hand, and he was unable to bring it down. We are going to lose that bet. We are going to go 1-1-1 on the night betting football. I couldn't think of a more boring line to finish the day with, but this game's going to stay under, and that's noteworthy because right now, 26 points, and by the way, Tennessee is lining up to kick a 58-yard field goal on 4th and 8 here. I want to see if they convert this. Kick is up, and it is good. 19-10. Should have just laid it with Tennessee. They were laying 6. They're now up by 9, and there's only 2 minutes and 23 seconds to go. So that's actually a really big field goal, because if San Francisco were to come back the other way, and let's say they would have kicked the field goal if there was more time, you'd be in trouble. But at 6, you're pushing. That field goal just got the Titans the cover here on at least the closing number. We are still very much under the total of 40, though. And that's the story. Because if this game finishes under, Arizona and the Raiders was 27-14, Cardinals with the win. That finished under by the hook of 41.5. Chargers and Texans ended with L.A. 27-7. That game was under 38. Indy and New England tied at 13. That's under 38. Pittsburgh top Green Bay 28-9. That stayed under 38.5. Cincinnati 16-14 over Detroit. Detroit covered, but we go under the 39 there. So looking at a sixth potential under here tonight in the NFL preseason, we'll keep you updated on that as that game shakes out here while we're on the air. Cashing out, I'm Dustin Sweetelson, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Let's start looking ahead to some of the matchups coming up on Friday, because we have three more games to look at. And Steve Mackinnon up at VSiN.com has some awesome trends that, look, trends to me, they put you over the top. If you're thinking, I really like this, but I need a little bit more justification to bet it, trends help you put the cherry on top of your handicap and say, you know what, this is something I want to bet on. But you don't just go, the trends are doing this and I'm going to bet into and onto certain trends. It just doesn't work that way, because you have to keep in mind, the longer a trend goes on, the more the bookmakers understand that this is how this team is playing out based on the way we view them. And at some point, they have to change their perception of what a team is or isn't and adjust the number. So at some point, when a trend goes on long and long enough, you're eventually going to get an adjustment the other way. And then that's probably where the real challenge is, figuring out when the books make that adjustment and if they're right or wrong, if they over-adjusted or under-adjusted, depending on what you're looking at. But as far as Friday is concerned, Miami's at Washington. We opened with the Commanders -1. It's up to 3.5 the other way with the Dolphins on the road. Total from 36.5, and I'm seeing mostly 36.5. It's a couple 36s, 135.5 in this matchup. And Steve Mackinnon had this over at VSiN.com. Since 2015, underdogs in the +1 to +3 range own a highly profitable record of 190 and 128 against the spread. That is 59.7%. So you're looking for underdogs +1 to +3 for the range. That would lead you to the Washington Commanders, who are catching 3.5 right now in the betting market. Let's now look at Tampa Bay and the Jets. And this is one where I like the under. The trends for Steve Mackinnon like the over. I'll explain it right now. We open with the Bucs -1.5 on the road, a total of 36. Totals only ticked down 0.5 to 35.5, but a big move on this side. Steam coming the Jets' direction. New York is now a 5.5-point home favorite. See, I like the under here, but Steve Mackinnon wrote this up at VSiN.com. Since 2010 in the NFL preseason, the number 37 has proven to be quite the benchmark in terms of totals. Totals less than 37 had gone over at a rate of 57.2%. That's 317 over to 237 under. We are at 35.5. So this number is less than 37, which means, according to his data, he likes the over. This would also apply to Miami and Washington, liking the over there. And then lastly, Denver and Atlanta. Broncos laying 3.5, 39.5 the current total. Closing totals of 37 or higher via Steve Mackinnon have gone under at 56.4%, 565 to 436. Denver, Atlanta would be an under because the total is so high. Right now I'm seeing even 40.5 out there in the market. More on the Denver Broncos, and are they being disrespected by the futures numbers? All of that coming your way next on Cashing Out.